You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Podcast, episode number 22.
Welcome to Street Smart Wealth, delivering everything awesome on how to profit in your PJs at home with the best of offline and social media marketing strategies. I'm your host, Jackie Ulmer, and each week I'll be sharing the solid, proven tips and training that I used to create a multi-million dollar income from home, as well as exciting interviews with other top income earners to help you be successful in your home-based direct sales and network marketing business. If you don't have the Profit in Your PJs report, grab it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com.
Well, hello, it's Jackie Ulmer, and thanks so much for listening into today's podcast. Wow, it's episode number 22. It's hard to believe it's already been almost half a year that I have been broadcasting on iTunes and other podcasting channels. And I really appreciate you, my audience. I appreciate the comments that you leave and suggestions that you make for different topics that you want to hear. And anytime you do have suggestions for me, I would love to hear them. I entertain all of them. You can go to jackiealmer.com/question and use the form there. There's the little SpeakPipe icon off to the right that you can click on, and you can actually leave me a message. If you leave me a message and your website on it too, as long as it's a good question and I use it on a podcast, it'll be a nice little plug for your blog as well. So on today's podcast, I'm thrilled to be bringing you an interview that I did recently with a couple who've been involved in network marketing since the 70s. They have seen it all. They have been the jet setters, literally owning jets, traveling around the world, truly living the life of the ultimate network marketer. And they built a hugely successful business, became disenchanted at one point with the profession, completely walked away from it and built another extremely successful career in oil and drilling and different things like that. So without further ado, please join me as we listen in to my interview with Bruce and BJ Strahan. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this most dynamic interview today. I'm Jackie Ulmer, and I'm so thrilled to be interviewing today's truly power couple in network marketing. I'm going to be interviewing Bruce and BJ Strahan from Dallas, Texas, and they have quite a story. You're going to want to listen to this one all the way through and take some notes, because you may find pieces of yourself in all different elements of their story. They actually started in their network marketing career in 1968, worked it on and off for a little bit, then got serious and focused, and then basically stepped away from the profession of network marketing in 1986. They took an 18-year hiatus and got back involved in 2001, and they're going strong, going gangbusters today. And so what we want to do is we want to focus on a little of their story, what happened along the way, and see what insights they can share with all of us to help us in our journey in this amazing profession called network marketing. So Bruce and BJ, first of all, thank you so much for this interview today.
Well, Jackie, we're so glad to be with you. We hold you up as someone to emulate in the industry.
And I ditto that, Jackie, so we just are excited to be with you on the phone today.
Well, thank you. That means the world to me, especially knowing your story and what you've accomplished. So let's just jump right in there. Let's tell me a little bit about yourselves, a little bit before network marketing, and then we'll get into how you started in the profession and how that's all transpired.
Okay. If anything, our story ought to give people hope, because I was probably one of the most negative people in the world when I first started in this business. Bill Jean and I met at 15. We ended up getting married right before we were 17 and sort of independent and on our own at that point. And finished high school, went to college, and because of going to college and playing football with a guy, I was interested in making money, but I didn't know many ways to make money outside of a job. And that was why I was going to college, was to get a good job, have a career. And anyway, a friend of mine came over to the house, one of the guys I played ball with, and he said he had to leave right away. And I said, "Why are you leaving?" He said, "Well, I got to go to this meeting, a gal that I'm in class with was going to make some money, and she wanted me to come over and take a look at it." And he never even thought about inviting me to come look at it. And I was pretty ambitious. I had a couple of jobs, or two or three at that time, in addition to playing football. And the next day I saw him, and I said, he started just doing the typical thing after you see something like that your first time. He sort of threw up all over me, and I told him that this had to be a con and that somebody was really trying to get to him. And so I agreed to go to a meeting the next night so I could show him what he couldn't see. And I was going to be Mr. Negative and so forth. So anyway, I ended up coming home that night, and I threw up all over Billie Jean. You know, told her everything, we're going to be rich, da-da-da-da-da. And that was sort of how we looked at this. And I guess it was sort of funny because we were living in Ada, Oklahoma, and, I was a physics major and a football player, wasn't the brightest person in the world, but the guy said that was giving the meeting that night that this other company was from Ada, Michigan, and I already knew enough to know there couldn't be two Adas in the world, so it had to be a local con going through southern Oklahoma. And I'll let Bill Jean tell you what her opinion was when I came in that night.
Well, I'll make mine very short. Obviously, we didn't grow up even hearing or understanding anything about that type of business. You just didn't have a grasp of that. It was all, get your degree, do this, get in the corporate world. And, you know, that was the direction we were going. But the first thing I did when he walked in the door and I saw what he was talking about, I went to make sure he hadn't taken the checkbook with him. So, you know, then once I understood and we truly had our questions answered, even though we were a very young couple at the time, I felt like it was something that, you know, we certainly could do. It was exciting. We were passionate about it. So that was truly where we got our initial introduction and our start in this industry.
Well, that's a great story. So tell me, what was it about it once you went from feeling skeptical and negative but saw some potential? What was it about it that made you say, yeah, I think we can do this?
Well, I think it was that confidence that comes from ignorance of not knowing what you can't do. When you get married at 16, all you hear is it'll never last, it'll never work, and here we are going on 51 years later. And so I guess we're pretty stubborn to begin with, and when I saw it, my initial reaction after I really started understanding the business concept is we refer people to things all the time. You know, if we go to a good restaurant or we see a great movie or we see something on TV, we refer people to it. And the only thing is, before, I never had a chance to ever make any money referring people to that. And so I sort of understood the concept that you could refer a lot of people. And if you had a system where people could refer and you had a small piece of that, the numbers would work out and you could truly become absolutely wealthy in this profession.
So then having that system in place and a little bit of ignorance on fire, as we like to call it, did you have immediate success?
You know, didn't have immediate success. I had two jobs at that time, again, trying to finish school, and I'm not trying to use that as excuses, but we ended up having a little, just a medium amount of success there, then left college, left where the heat of the fire was, and then got away. But before we got away, we met a gentleman who became a mentor to us for over 40 years in our life, and helped us become millionaires the first time, and just had a great, I can't even say enough about him, of the wisdom that this man had. And he was 20 years older than we were, and he sort of took us under his arm, and he taught me the little things, like, Bruce, you really need to smile every once in a while, you know. And I was sort of a trained herder of other people at that point, so I didn't smile a lot, didn't have many friends. Didn't have any friend. Had one friend. I married her. And anyway, he started me as a gradual process of learning how to communicate with people. And it served me well throughout my life in that profession, as well as in everything else I've done. Everything else that I have had success in my life And, Jackie, we've had some great successes and we've had some marvelous failures in our life, but everything that we were able to do, it was part of what we learned in that first 3 or 4 year period from this gentleman, and I'll just be forever grateful that he came into our life.
And he was not your sponsor.
He was about 8 or 9 up from us. And it's sort of funny, I mean, how life comes around, because he maintained a contact with us all these years. And when he was at the end of his life, he had his caregiver call us and say, you know, is there any way that we could come take care of him? And we ended up becoming responsible for him and his estate and everything the last 4 years and 9 months of his life. And I asked Bill Jean many times, I said, do you think that he came into our life for that mentoring at the very beginning, or do you think he came into our life for this time for us to help him? And she said, it's probably a little bit of both.
You're probably right.
He taught us a very valuable lesson as the role of a leader, and that was he recognized that Bruce and I certainly had the ambition and the drive. Maybe we didn't, you know, weren't ready. That wasn't our time. But he never let go. He never made us feel bad. He just kept the encouraging, and he just kept touching us occasionally. And he just set the model to us as what a leader does. But here's what he did. He went on and increased his success. And so he taught us everything right from every direction. So we learned a lot as we began to become leaders in the business as to those things that you need to do to really give back to people so they don't let go when you do see that glow in, or that glimmer in their eye.
That's awesome. That's amazing. So then... So I know that you went on to become a diamond level in that company, which is one of the, which is a top leadership level. What was it then that set you on that path? You didn't have immediate success, but I've heard you mention a couple times, you know, developing skills. So obviously these are business skills that can be developed. What would you say, you know, detail for us a little bit of that journey, the time length involved, and how you went about making it happen?
I think there was a time in our life, and this was about 1976, and we had first met this gentleman in 1968 when we got involved when I was still in college. And in 78, I owned an oil drilling company, and 76 actually. And then in 78, I had something happen. I ended up with a ruptured disc in my back, and I realized that I couldn't really operate. I couldn't do the driving and the physical work and everything else that business required of me. And I really looked at this business, and I saw him have a few challenges as he went along health-wise, and yet his business continued to flourish. And it was a decision, and it was more than just a decision to make money. It was a decision to be free. And I think that's really what we saw in it. And I had an experience, and some people will laugh at this, but I was working so many hours in the oil field. I think for a year I averaged 102 hours a week, and that didn't leave you a lot of time for a wife and 3 kids. And one day I had been gone for 3 or 4 days, and I came in, and my son at that time, how old was Michael? 2?
Michael, yeah, he was about
2. 2, 3 years old. And anyway, he just wanted to spend a little time with me, so I jumped in bed to get a quick nap before I had to go out on another job, and then I got a phone call and I had to go. And so I was getting ready to jump in the shower, and I saw my son. He said, Daddy, can I get in the shower with you? And I said, sure. So he got in the shower with me, and I was shaving, and I dropped my razor, and he picked it up. And he bent over, and he started shaving his leg. And I've had a lot of people laugh at that, but I'm going to tell you what. I think I was 29 years old at that time, and I had big tears rolling down my face because I said, here I am in the land of the free, the home of the brave and all that, and I'm a slave economically, and my son doesn't know what a man is, because not that he didn't love his mother and she didn't love him, but he spent so much time with her, he wasn't around me. And I said, I'm going to be free so my son, all three of them, will know what a man is. And so that was one of the driving things, because it was like, you know, I know that in, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation set everybody free that was a slave, and here I was, a virtual slave in the greatest country on the face of the earth. And I had a system that if I was willing to put in the effort to, that I could totally transform that for myself and people around me. And we just started putting in massive action. And I don't mean mud on the wall, but I missed so many people, Jackie, because I just decided I was going to run. And, you know, when you're working over 100 hours a week, you don't have time to play with people. And so I had people that came to me 2 years later and said, Bruce, you never followed up on me on that business. And I said, gee, I'm really sorry. I really apologize. I just didn't have time. And we just started running with the ones that wanted to run. And we built massive depth and, you know, just built a taproot everywhere we could. And we took it all on ourselves. And when we did that, it was the crazy thing is everybody else, every other leader in the organization jumped in and started duplicating not what we wanted them to do, not what we told them to do, but what they saw us doing.
And it was a great, great time. I know, you know, Bruce and I, one of the things that we did, obviously, when you're as young as we were getting married, we've always been a great team, but we eliminated all the excuses. We took out the excuses. We put in the time, and we never ran against each other. We always ran with each other. And I've always told, you know, couples, and, hey, if you're together and one of you really doesn't want to run, at least just stand with them in the same direction and support them. But, boy, if you've got two people that want to run together, that's an incredible team, and a lot of energy can come from that. But you just want to run together as fast and as hard as you can, and that's what we did. We were tired of where we were. We were both weary with our results that we had as a family, our lifestyle. We loved our kids. We wanted to all be with them. I wanted all of us together. So it was, we had total excitement. We had fun, and we were told several years later, I asked a couple, I said, why did you join us? And her answer was, she said, nobody wanted to miss what y'all were going to do. Everybody was having so much fun.
Wow, that's a great story. So in that process then, did you ultimately, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming you ultimately stepped away from corporate America and began to do network marketing full time.
Yeah, yes. From that experience in the drilling business, that happened when my son was in the shower with me. That happened in 1976, and in 3 months we were making more money in our part-time second profession than what I made with three drilling rigs and working 102 hours a week. And we just kept building the business from there until we were making a substantial income, and it would even be a substantial income by today's standards.
Well, interesting then that roughly, give or take a little, 10 years later, you stepped away from not only that company, but the network marketing profession in general. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there came a time, and, you know, I look back on this and think, you know, was I short-sighted or was I doing something from an integrity standpoint? I felt like that what I was telling people was that if you build this business, you can make a lot of money. And then I saw people making mega dollars, and most of what they were doing wasn't making it in their business, but they were making it in the support system to where they were making, if they made X in their business, they were making 10X in their support business, selling books and tapes and functions. And I think it got to the point where people were telling people, don't miss a meeting, you know, and if you got to sell the couch to go to a meeting, sell the couch. And I couldn't do that. And it was just like, you know, yeah, the meetings are important, but don't give up your life and things that, because if you, you know, to me, the saddest thing in the world is for somebody that becomes financially successful and loses their family. And that was much more important to me, and it was much more important that I do everything I can to counsel my friends, and that's what all of them were. One of the things my mentor told me, I asked him one day, I said, how do you sponsor strangers? And he said, I never have. And he had literally hundreds of thousands of people on his teams around the world. I said, you've never sponsored a stranger? And he said, oh, no, I always make them a friend first. So we were dealing with friends. It was thousands of them, but I didn't want to give them advice that I wouldn't take myself. And so we got to the point where we said, okay, we can't bridge that gap, and we felt like that it was not consistent with what we felt like our self-image was, Jackie. And we walked away from a substantial income at that point, and I got involved in the drilling business and oil and gas exploration pretty much full-time at that point. And we were just moving forward. And anyway, it was the last thing from my mind at that point. In fact, I vowed when I left that business, I said, I'll never get in this type of business again, ever. It's funny how long ever is.
Well, you know what they say, never say never.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think all of us learn that over time. It's interesting. Yeah, and I take that a step further, never say never in the heat of the moment.
There you go. That's true.
Let's fast forward then. You were out of the business for 18 years, back into the corporate life. You know, tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll get into how you made your reentry and why, and talk a little bit about what's up now.
Well, I was always interested in mineral exploration. That was one of the things that always intrigued me. And, you know, to stand on the surface of the earth and think down below us, 5,000, 10,000 feet could be an oil or gas field, that was always intriguing to me. So I developed a exploration company, and we had three or four geologists and had a bunch of landmen and had draftsmen, and we generated prospects for the oil and gas industry. And, you know, then oil and gas can have up and down. Right now it's very up. In 86, it was very down, and so it was not the best time in the world to get into the industry, but if you could make it at that time, it was a great time, because then you had a chance to do something, because you didn't have as much competition for leases and rigs and everything else like you do today. So I got involved in that, and we spent many, many years involved in that, and then I had a friend of mine that was a oil and gas, he was a double-degreed geologist and a petroleum engineer, and he called me up one Saturday morning, and he said, Bruce, do you ever look at anything outside of oil and gas? And I said, sure. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, I've got a chance to get involved in a gold mine down in Mexico. And so I said, sure. Well, what he didn't know is I had spent a lot of time, because of my interest in metallurgy and exploration, I'd spent a lot of time involved in just sort of part-time mining. In fact, Bill Jean and I, we lived out in Northern California, and a lot of times we'd take the kids out Friday afternoon when I was off work, when we lived out there, and we'd be up in the Sierra Nevadas panning all weekend. So he made an accidental call to the right person. So I ended up getting involved in mining operations down in Mexico, and then from there it ended up going into South America, and I was involved in the upper Amazon basin in Bolivia, and had a fairly extensive operation down there in the gold business. And so, you know, but, you know, I didn't have the same, that feeling inside of fulfillment, because there's a lot of ways to make money in the world. But I'm down in South America without my wife, without my kids, and have things that are going on. And one of the great disturbing, irritating things that I have to contend with is my youngest son. I had to be down back in La Paz, Bolivia, and you know, my youngest son was graduating, and I had to leave a week before he graduated from high school. And I said, you know, there's got to be a better way than what I'm doing, even though I'm making good money. I don't think Billie Jean liked me being gone all that time, and I don't think she was too interested in going to the jungle. So we kept looking at things that we could do, and then we had a friend of ours that we had known through the other business that ended up, maybe you can tell that story because he had the initial conversation with you. And anyway, he told her, he said he had come across some products that we needed to be using. And so, you know, I'm in bed asleep, and she had a little health issue at that point, had just had a stent and was diagnosed as precancerous of her esophagus with GERD. And so anyway, I was really excited about that because when he shipped us some products, I said, okay, go ahead and put those in the closet underneath the staircase because I knew I would never get in that closet. So I would never try them, and I could never be involved in that. And he kept talking to her, and then he talked to me, and he said, look, I don't care whether you ever do this. You need to use these. And it was the most amazing thing because, you know, I've heard these stories. Because of our success in the first business, I can't tell you how many businesses I had brought to me to look at. I probably looked at 1,000 relationship marketing businesses and, you know, said no to all of them. And then he brings me this and for 60 days didn't use them or anything. And then finally ended up getting them out. I started using them. She started using them. We both had some rather miraculous type results using them. And I said, dadgummit, we need to at least investigate this. And ended up flying back to their office and met their chief science officer, met the president, met the owner. And I saw the integrity. I saw that it was a little different than what we'd been involved in before because this owner was a multi-billionaire and he didn't get in this business to make money. Every business I have ever looked at, including every one that I've ever started, I started them and got involved to make money. He got involved because he wanted to bring something that gave him some extra years with his dad because his dad had a terminal illness and you know, the doctors basically said you need to get your affairs in order, and he started taking a natural product, aloe vera, and started taking that, and within a relatively short period of time, his health returned, and he lived another 22 years. And so his idea was, I've already got the money. I'll put money into this to bring the best of Western science to plant-based products, and then we'll bring them to the world. And I could buy into that mission because Bill Jean and I both have been very purpose-driven in our lives. And so that was something that we felt very, very strong about. If we can bring something to people that's going to improve their health and their wealth, then we were all for that. So that was, I guess, what changed us a little bit in the direction that we were going.
Wow, that's great. So any challenges then transitioning to a new company? I mean, you've been out for a while. Did you just hop right back in?
No. No, I didn't.
I wish we could say yes to that, but I think that was one of our transitional awakenings, so to speak, is that we realized we were bringing maybe some old patterns into a different system, a different model, and we really had to rethink things and adjust a little bit, and that was just something that we had to overcome. So Bruce and I laugh about it. We wish we could say yes. We just tore it up from there, but no, that is not the case.
Here's what most people hate to hear, Jackie, in my opinion. You know, I got married young. I started the business. I became a multimillionaire by the time I was 21. By the time I was 25, I was worth $30 million. All of my kids graduated in the upper 1% of their high school class. We're all on scholarship, and that's how my life is. And, you know, to me, there is no dream, struggle, and victory there. And so I guess our whole life has been having a dream, struggling, and then having the victory. And so, no, we didn't build it right away. We, as Bill Jean said, I was trying to build the other, what I remembered from the other business model and this business model, and they didn't apply because, you know, before I was wanting to get people in, and then eventually, you know, I was looking for the wrong people, and I was trying to convince them. And what I didn't realize is that we had products so powerful that what I consider today is not convincing marketing, but it's experiential marketing, where somebody can, if they can experience what I experienced on these products, and we could just give you anecdotally thousands of stories of what's happened with people when they use these products. But that's where we had to learn to go was, hey, we've got a 90-day guarantee. Try it for 90 days. If you don't look, feel, and perform better at the end of 90 days, you get your money back. And I always tell people this, if the products work, you get your health back. If the products don't work, you get your money back. And I thought that's a great way to do business.
Well, when you started, gosh, back in 68, the internet didn't exist. I'm not even sure that it was thought about in anybody's mind, although it might have been. So now I know you're transitioning, you're moving your business largely online in addition to offline. Talk to us a little bit about that, the decision behind it, what you see as the potential in that, and where you see it going from there.
Well, Jackie, as you know, I've had a couple of health challenges this last 2 years, and I didn't, at 67, even though I'm still a very healthy person, I didn't see that I would or would want to put in the effort I did when I was in my 30s. And I also didn't want to put in the time. We're around now, our grandkids and our kids, and we had two of them here last night, and one still here today, and we just enjoy spending time with them. So I started looking. In fact, I had a conversation with you about a year ago. You put on a little thing online, and I subscribed to that. And so you're one of the reasons that I was looking, but I found you. And I saw that you had developed your business initially one-to-one, not digitally, but just on a person-to-person type basis. And then you explained that you went with online because it gave you more freedom and flexibility, and that's what I wanted. And so Bill Jean and I said, okay, if it takes us a little while to get this and to do it and apply it in our business, what does this do for us? And the first thing I think is somebody asked me the other day, what do you do? And I said, we leverage intellectual property to other people for a profit, because, you know, other people don't know what we know about these products because they haven't explored that. And so what we do is we leverage that information to them to improve their health, and we make a profit for that. And so that's what we're really doing, is leveraging technology or leveraging information through technology. And then I got to thinking, well, the other thing we do is we leverage time, because in the other business, goodness sakes, it was a different era. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, it was nothing to put 1,000, 2,000 people in a hotel room. Actually, not a hotel ballroom. A hotel room probably wasn't the right thing, but you could get people to come out to meetings. And I see less and less, probably since 2001, since 9/11, I don't think people want to assemble in a big building. And so we were looking, how do we leverage other people's time? And so instead of putting gas in the car, getting all dressed up, and going to a meeting that people could go to downtown and paying a babysitter, parking, et cetera, we just felt like that if we can get to the point where we can explain it online, and that could be through presentation, Skype, lots of different ways, that would help us leverage our time. And also save money. Have a low overhead, so you have a low operating overhead business with a high profit potential. And so that's sort of where we initially looked. And then I started, as I got into more conversation with you and I explored this more, Our company is in the United States and Canada right now, but we're going to Malaysia at the end of this year. We're going to be in 24 countries in the next 6 years. And so I really don't have a desire to fly to Malaysia. I don't have a desire to fly all over the world. I've been to a lot of places in the world. And so I look at this as not only being able to leverage my time, but to leverage geography. And so I don't know if that makes sense or not, Jackie, but to me, if I can shrink the globe and touch people all around it, that's what I want to do.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me, and it just, you know, I can't resist but ask the question, because as you know, there's that long time debate over the last, you know, 8 years for sure going on with old school and new school network marketing, and our meetings dead, quote unquote, you know, that kind of thing. So what do you think about that as someone who's literally, I mean, you're a great person to share some more insight and to answer that, because you're someone who built a very successful business with the traditional, original methods of building network marketing, and now, you know, you're open-minded and transitioning. So what message can we learn from all that, and what are your thoughts about that in the future?
Well, Bruce and I probably will add something on this, Jackie. One of the things that I felt like that before I was owned, probably I had a business, had built a very successful business with Bruce that truly owned me 24/7. And here I was, a mother raising three boys, a busy life, and it was wearing. It was very rewarding, and we enjoyed it. We wouldn't take for that. But then I look at where we are today, and probably what I have observed in the situation that we're in and in the position we're in is that we have grandchildren from 12 to 24. And if you look at each one of those children, they're all using communication technology. It moves with them. It goes on vacations. It goes to camp with them. It goes where they go off to college. And so here we are, and I thought, this is not and should not be an age barrier, but we better wake up, because this is the move. This is the direction we're going. And then I can go sit in a restaurant with Bruce in Dallas, Texas, and I'm very sensitive and aware when I see these family coming in with their soccer kids and baseball players, and they're running from one direction to another. They're tired. They probably spent probably if not an hour in traffic, right under an hour to get home to go through this process. Here's what I'm picking up on. Everybody's looking for something. They're either looking for a career change, or they're looking to pay that college tuition, or to pay for the private schools or the soccer, whatever that is. Or you're looking at our generation, the baby boomers, that are looking at wanting to add to their portfolio instead of having it really demolished like so many of them have. And so we have something. Everybody around us is looking for something. It just is, they don't want any more time outgo. They don't mind spending time, but they want it to be where it's an ease for them. It's an easy do. Well, everybody is on the internet. Everybody. Everybody has a cell phone everywhere you look. And so if you just back off and just start watching and observing the direction we're going and how people live, it is absolutely the perfect fit to communicate our business and really to take it globally, so we can have a massive business and help others do the same. It's not even about what I think. It's about just logic and common sense. That's just the direction. And this is Bruce and I at 67 are so, so excited. I was talking to my 15-year-old granddaughter about setting goals and pursuing her dreams, and I said, look at it this way. If I am telling you at 67 I can do anything I want, then you can too. You have all the opportunities out there for you that I do. Go for them. And so that's kind of Bruce and I feel like 16-year-old kids again. We're going for this one. We're excited about it.
Yeah, it's really exciting when you think that just like what she was saying, is that all this technology is out there. I was listening to an audio tape that I get, or CD that I get, and this gentleman was talking about starting an online business in 1999. I didn't even really know about the internet. I think I'd had the internet connection for about 2 years at that time. All I knew anything about was a little bit of email. But he started one in 1999, and he spent $5 million on that, on his site, his servers, and all of that, getting it set up. And guess what? He failed. So there's $5 million gone. And Jackie, today, someone can get started online. Let's just take a wild, from $500 to $1,500, they could get started. Say it's $1,000. That means that someone today can go out and fail 499 times, and it would cost them less than his one failure. And out of 500 times, do you think you got the chance to have one success? Because all you need is one success, and it takes care of all those failures.
Absolutely. And a lot, you know, that goes back to what do you consider a failure? You know, if you just keep going, you usually can make up any lost ground you have. And actually, I started my business online in 1999, too. So I love that. I mean, it, you know, I caught a big vision back then, and I still have it today. I haven't wavered one bit. So, well, in closing, tell us a little bit about what you see as the future for your business, what you're excited about, and what we can expect for the future from you guys.
Well, you know, I told you, we're just excited about the direction that Jackie, you have really set a bar out there to go for, but you've given such an example and instruction on how to get it done. The first time I saw you was when you were giving a presentation out of your kitchen, and I'm a cook, and I love to be doing things like that, and, you know, I love sports. I'm into all that kind of stuff, but when I sat there and looked at you building your business in that environment, totally, totally excited me. It just validated where my heart was going and wanting to go in the business. I just see that that people can have whatever they want through doing it this way, through really throwing their hearts into this and not being afraid. I mean, it's no more than we were as 21-year-old kids the first time we were introduced to this profession. And it's like, if we're all a little bit scared to stick our toe in the water and somebody always wants it to be a sure thing, well, you know what? That isn't how this country got started. And Bruce and I just know that this is such an opportunity for not just for Bruce and I, but for so many people to help so many other people really pursue this. This is a profession, and I believe more and more people are looking at the model that you've set in place as a profession. They look at this as, hey, this is something, you know, we ought to look at seriously in the direction we ought to take our lives. So I see people really looking at this so differently than they did years and years ago. So what an exciting time for us to go through both.
Yeah, and I sort of look at it in a funny way because, you know, I believe that people can build it. I guess the word would be analog, where they're going one-to-one and they're seeing people and they're spending the time individually because you're building a relationship with people that way. I just feel like you have the chance to build more relationships faster if you end up doing it online. And either way is great because the results of being successful in this industry, in this profession, and I keep going back to it's a profession. Don't look at this as just something you come into and go out of. It's a profession. If you take the time to learn the steps, my dad was a dentist, and, you know, you don't become a dentist overnight. You don't become a dentist by going out and looking at a few people's teeth. You know, you've got to go to school. You've got to become a profession before you can hang that shingle out. The difference is, he didn't make any money until he hung the shingle out and started seeing patients. And then he was still learning. We have the chance to stumble our way to success if we just will talk to people and just see people. And I guess that's where I see the future is having a positive impact for thousands and thousands of people. I think, Jackie, I told you in the past that we took about 3 years, 2.5, 3 years, out of our life and donated our time basically to a drug Christian outreach alcohol drug treatment facility. We were wanting to be agents of change in those people's lives, and we helped a lot of those people. But it's sort of like the old story about how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is just one, but it depends on how bad the bulb wants to change. And, you know, if somebody wants to change, because we all aren't in the mental set to be multimillionaires, okay, can we learn to be? I think Jim Rohn said something, if you should find yourself with $1 million, best to become a millionaire as soon as possible. Because if you don't start thinking that way, you won't keep it. And so what I look at is that we're going to coach, mentor, teach, and help a lot of other people change their lives for the positive. And that's what I see in the future.
Well, I definitely love that for sure. That's powerful. So how do we learn more about you? How do we find more about you online?
You can go to brucestrahan.com and get us there. You can call us, email us. The easiest way, though, would be probably go to brucestrahan.com.
And that's S-T-R-A-H-A-N, correct?
You got a $10 award for the correct spelling.
Very good. Well, Bruce and BJ, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. You know, there's great knowledge, there's great wisdom, there's great insight to what you shared all the way from, you know, from start to, I won't say finish, because, you know, this part of the game is just getting started. But I know the listeners are going to get so much value out of it, and I just want to thank you so much for being here and for sharing.
Well, Jackie, thank you, and we enjoyed spending the time with you. Any time that we have a chance to listen to you, we try to pick up on that.
And it was just a pleasure to just sit and visit with you one more time, Jackie.
Well, excellent. All right, everybody, that's it. Make it a great day, and take those insights and everything that you've learned and put them into action for your business. Have a great day.
So there you have it, an interview with an amazing couple who've been involved in network marketing for over 40 years. And as Bruce said when he started the interview with me, if anything, it should give you hope, and it definitely should. So you can do it too. And I love what they have to share about combining, you know, a couple who come from the traditional way of building network marketing for years and are now transitioning to the internet using the tools, and they realize that technology isn't going to go away, and they definitely want to be a part of that. So again, it's Jackie Ulmer. This has been the Street Smart Wealth Podcast. If you don't have my free report, definitely get it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. And if you want to listen or find the show notes, find out a little bit more about, you know, some of what we shared in today's podcast, you can go over to jackieulmer.com/022, and that'll take you right into the show notes. So I hope you have an amazing week, and I will look forward to seeing you back here next week.
If you would like even more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. That's my nuts and bolts on how to be successful in your network marketing business. You can also get more at my blog, jackieulmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/streetsmartwealth, and on Twitter, @JackieUlmer. See you on the next show, and have a fun, profitable week.